This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Okay, well, this is a really special, special day, and I am so excited that I have today in the studio with me Carol J. Perry. My goodness, Carol, it is so wonderful to have you back here.
It's my pleasure, always. And it seems as though we go back a long, long way, but it's from book one.
That's right.
In the series.
From book one. It's unbelievable. Over 6.5 years now, and in that time, you know, it has been so exciting for me. I've talked to over 500 authors, and of course, you were the very first author in the studio with me.
Yeah, I was.
And it was so exciting for me because before I had been talking to them from New York City, they would go into the, in those days, they'd go into the studio at the major publishers. All the major publishers have their own studio. And the authors used to go in there on pub day and we'd talk. But you came to the studio and it was because I met you at a writer's meeting.
Right.
And Bay Area Professional Writers Group. And it was just so, it was the timing was perfect. It was my first time I had ever gone to a group, a writer's group.
Yep.
And then there you were sitting and you just slid very quietly across the table, the cover of your book. And I looked at it and I said, wow, this is a major book. This is so cool. And of course that book is caught dead-handed.
Yeah.
And a Kensington book, a Kensington cover. And that you can be sure when you see a Kensington cover, it catches your eye.
I've been thrilled with all of the covers, except the one in book two where the cat was so small on the cover. But other than that, they've featured my hero cat, Orion.
Yes. And that he did object a little bit to being he's not a small personality, let's put it that way.
That's right.
And he wants to be seen, mm-hmm. but all the covers are gorgeous.
They are.
And now, I mean, I don't know, your name is Carol J. Perry. I don't know what the J stands for. It should stand for joy, actually, because you are an author who is filled now with joy, because, wow, when you are asked, it is always the dream of an author to be asked by a publisher to write a book.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Oh, it's a surprise and a delightful one. And Kensington, indeed, my editor, S.E. Soga at Kensington, one day said, would you be interested in writing a paranormal series for us? Well,
I'll think about it. I'll get back to you.
And it's fun when an editor says something like that, of course you say, absolutely, it's nothing I'd like better. Not having the slightest idea how I was going to do it. But I agreed, and that's how the Haunted Haven mystery series came to be. I'm only working on book two of it, but it is...
Well, book one, book one has come out with a bang, I tell you. It has been amazing. It is an amazing story. This, you know, it is such an honor always to talk to authors on pub days of their first book, and then pub days now of their first book in a series. And you have had so many wonderful, wonderful reviews. It is the comments on your book, and we shouldn't start with Publishers Weekly. First of all, I always recommend Publishers Weekly to all the authors who, you know, I talk to. I say, check it out, because they know what's happening and they're up to date, and you can find up to date agents there. But wow, when they give you a starred review, that's pretty fantastic.
It was such a delight, and as soon as I heard about it, I thought of all you had said about Publishers Weekly and how important it is. I've always been aware of it, never dreamed I'd have a review in it.
Well, it is. It is something. It's prestigious. It's a great honor when they say something is good. I mean, it gets noticed, and that's the important thing. You know, that's what you want, and you want name recognition. I'm trying to tell people it's easy to remember Carol J. Perry. She's a little bit scary, and because you want people to remember your name.
Yes.
And wow, when you have that starred review. Well, it's just wonderful. It is really wonderful. And I was so excited when I saw it. So there you are. The publisher wants you to go the series. So what was your first thought? Did you sit back and say, okay? But you already had... Tell us about the character you developed, because she comes from something in your background. You have some basis here to really bring this character to life. And I love her. I love the new character.
I love her, too. You know, it was on your program that I heard Mary Higgins Clark make a statement that was so profound that I wrote it on a little card, and it's on the bulletin board above my desk. And she said, if you love your characters, it makes the writing so much more fun. And I have loved my characters. I even became sort of fond of a killer in one of them, but that's another story. For Be My Ghost... first I'd asked for paranormal, and I had to sort of look up definitions of paranormal after I so enthusiastically agreed that I could definitely do such a thing. And I consulted with several writer friends who said, oh, paranormal, that's with zombies and werewolves and beings like that. And I thought, I'm not so fond of that, but I can do ghosts. Having lived in a haunted house once, but that's another story. So I decided it would be a ghost story. And at the time that I was thinking about doing this, my friend Mary Ann Shatford from Gloucester, Massachusetts, you may have heard of Mary Ann in Sebastian Junger's great book, The Perfect Storm. But anyway, Mary Ann came, and she always calls for us to get together for a little bit. And she was staying in Gulfport at the... Peninsula Hotel, and we had lunch there with her. And since I was thinking about some sort of haunted hotel or inn, that just struck the right note, especially when I discovered that the Peninsula Hotel is haunted by a ghost named Isabel. So that was just the germ of it, just the beginning of the idea, but it was enough to begin to put together some sort of a synopsis for Kensington, who wanted to know what this book was going to be about. And it just sort of grew. The name Maureen Doherty and the dog named Finn, for some reason I was vibrating to the Irish in my soul when I did this. And this is one of those that was so fun for me to write. I almost feel as though I'm taking dictation from the characters, including the dog, who only says woof. It's been a delight to work on it. I have modeled Haven. Oh, I forgot to tell you the name of this fictitious town where Maureen goes is Haven.
Haven, Florida, a nice name.
And it's sort of a combination of Gulfport, Safety Harbor, Cedar Key, Sanford, some of the places that the amusement parks passed by and have retained much of their original charm back when the finer folk came to stay in the big hotels for the season. Uh-huh. And this hotel is called Haven House Inn. My heroine has been a sportswear buyer for a major Boston department store, which has gone the way of many of those big department stores of brick and mortar. It has closed, and Maureen is out of work. And Finn, this beautiful golden retriever, has been trained to be a guide dog. But it turns out he flunked his finals because he's too friendly and too curious. So Maureen and Finn are both out of work when in the way of cozy mysteries, a remarkable thing happens.
We need a remarkable thing.
Yep. And there's a letter from a lawyer, which she thinks her luck has been so bad lately, a letter from a lawyer can't possibly be any good. So she puts it aside to read for a while. And when she finally does read it, she finds, much to her amazement, that a Florida lawyer has notified her that she's the sole heir to the estate of one Penelope Josephine Gray. Well, this is very nice, but she's never heard of anyone named Penelope Josephine Gray, or she would have remembered. Never doesn't know anything about Haven, Florida. But things being as they are, and winter coming on, and not having the price of her apartment readily available anymore, she and Finn decide, well, it'll be a roof over their head, and they might as well try it. So they head out for Florida from Massachusetts and take a sort of eventful trip down there. One of the first places they stop has been a desire of Maureen since she was in the eighth grade to stop at a place called South of the Border. Anyone who's made the trip back and forth from Florida probably knows about South of the Border. It is an amazingly tacky place. it's beautiful in its tackiness. And she wanted to stop there when they made a trip to Florida for her eighth grade celebration, but her parents said it was just too tacky, and they didn't stop. So now she has the occasion to do so. So she goes into the amusement area, and she finds that there's lots and lots of old pinball machines, and among them, the jewel of the whole place, is a Zoltar machine, just like the one that was in the movie Big. It's a big square flashing light thing with the figure of a fortune teller looking man with a turban on his head with a crystal ball. And he, with his automated movements of passing his hands over the ball. So she puts a couple of dollars in the slot. And a blue card comes out with a rhyming fortune for her that seems very strange. And kind of fascinating and a little bit on the creepy side, which she keeps. I'm not going to read you what it says because it's a bit of a spoiler.
That's
but
right.
You will enjoy reading it, I think. Maureen proceeds on her way, on the rest of the way to Haven, where she finds that the hotel, although in disrepair, still has a bit of charm about it. And there are several guests who seem to be permanent guests there who have been working to pay their rent. This includes some characters that I really enjoyed meeting, and I think you will too when you read the book. And there's also a manager of the hotel, which it turns out has been badly mismanaging the place for many years. And it is, although the original owner, who is Penelope Josephine Gray, we still don't know why she has passed this on to Maureen. Penelope inherited the hotel in a similar way to the way Maureen is, but with it came a great deal of money. Well, the current manager has managed to whittle away until there's not much left. So Maureen has a lot to face to get this thing on its feet so that it will be attractive to people once again, especially after she finds that there's some otherworldly inhabitants of the place, too. Maureen has not been a believer in ghosts, but it doesn't take too long for her to meet one in her own apartment that absolutely convinces her that there are such things.
Oh, and it is so much fun. I think everybody, you can sort of imagine yourself, you know, winning something and taking over an inn or an old house like that and converting it into a bed and breakfast. And here in this case, she has an existing hotel with some work that needs to be done. And she's going to get to work on it. But the fun thing is first of all, the characters, the real characters living in the hotel that you've created, all very fascinating. And then, of course, are some of our ghostly friends who show up and make life interesting.
Yes, they are. Shall I tell a little bit about Lorna Dubois?
Yes, I was going to say that. There's, you know, Meanwhile, we're, you know, and throughout it, of course, we have Finn, who is sort of a stabilizing, isn't he? Sort of a, I mean, he's a golden retriever.
He's a golden.
They're calm. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, they're like that.
Yeah.
And he's on the cover of the book, which is really, as I said, an outstanding cover. It sticks out. You brought in a magazine here, and it's always author's dream about being on the cover or the back cover of a magazine. And here you are on the back cover of what magazine is it?
This is Woman's World. It's one of their special interest annuals, and this one is one of the Celebrate magazines. It's full of recipes for Halloween treats. But on the back cover, it says, indulge this Halloween with criminally delicious reads. And there's pictured five books, all from Kensington, and one of them is The Haunted Haven Mystery, Be My Ghost. And as Patsy noted, it really stands out because it has this beautiful shade of blue background on the cover. Kind of Floridian
look. It is a Floridian look. It's a beautiful. It stands out from
it stands out
from all the other books.
Because all the others are kind of dark and creepy because of being
But this one's got all the paranormal you'd want.
Yep.
But it just stands out, and of course it's a glossy cover.
Yep.
This is quite a thrill. This is a thrill for an author.
It is. All of this journey has been thrilling.
You are living the life.
I mean,
really, when you think about it, whoa, what a trip you've had here.
Well, I know the books are good, but luck is involved in this kind of a journey. Like, I know that when I sent that, I had been turned down by a few agents for this book, the first one in the Witch City Mystery series, which is became Caught Dead-Handed. Its original name was Nightshades. And I had sent it around and received polite, lots of luck letters from some editors. And I said, well, I'll just try direct to publisher, because it worked for me when I was writing middle grade novels. That worked. So I sent it directly to Kensington. And I looked at all of the editors who are written up in there on their website, and I picked Essie Soga because I like her name. Well, I know that this piece of work landed on Essie's desk on a day when she was receptive to reading it and when she needed a new cozy, so it was a lucky thing. Like when I passed you the cover of the book, it was your first time at that meeting, and you just happened to be there.
That's right, and I didn't know you from The Man in the Moon.
No, so that was another lucky move. So these things continue to happen, and I hope they don't stop.
No, the way the reviews that are coming in.
I know.
I mean, you've been now compared to E.J. Kopperman.
Yes.
I mean, I have to tell my listeners, if they don't know, E.J. Kopperman is considered... Oh, wow. He is a top, when they list the top cozy mystery writers, he's always in that bunch. And so to be compared to him, it's a great honor.
Yeah. And then I got a lovely note from him after I posted that wonderful compliment on my website. I got a note from him thanking me for mentioning him.
Isn't it?
How gracious can you be?
Oh,
you know?
He is. He's delightful. Of course. I met him at the Vinoy Hotel, spent quite a bit of time sitting around the lobby with him, because I sometimes skipped events, like, you know, panels, because I was having so much fun talking to him. He's fascinating, and of course he's been on Joy on Paper. But when you're compared to him, this is a great honor.
I tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, your whole trajectory of, you know, from the beginning and getting to this point is amazing. And as I said, I love the stories. I can't tell every, I don't want to give away a lot of the sort of the people who, fill the hotel, but go in and explain a few that you want to talk about.
Well, when she first arrives at the hotel, she climbs up the stairs with some pumpkins because it is a Halloween story after all. And on either side of this broad staircase are lined up two rocking chairs on each side, and in those rocking chairs are some rather elderly people. They're Gert and Molly and George and Sam. And they, throughout the books, sit in these rocking chairs and observe many, many things, which is a helpful device because they share some important information with my protagonist. But they also work there in exchange for the rooms. Apparently, Penelope Josephine Gray felt sorry for them and let them stay there at a very low rate, for which they did certain chores around the hotel. And Maureen, likewise being a very charitable soul, also hasn't raised the rent, and she's kept them on. And I'm glad she has, because I need them in the next book. Then in her own suite of rooms, which had been Penelope Josephine Gray's rooms, she meets the first of a series of beings that she's going to encounter throughout the series. But the first one appears to her one evening, and it's a very pretty blonde girl, young woman, who appears in black and white, like an old movie. And it turns out that Lorna Dubois was a Hollywood starlet. A starlet because in the days when she was working in Hollywood, she looked too much like Jean Harlow. Enough so she could double for her in some movies, but mostly she would play the blonde girlfriend of the hero or some lesser role. She never did become a star. But she died in Haven when she was doing a play at the age of 75 at the Playhouse, which is now closed. But she tripped over a wire and fell into the prompter's box and broke her neck and died instantly. She saw the light at the end of the tunnel and decided she wanted to stay there because all of her stuff was at this hotel. And she's very fond of her stuff, costumes and props and things that she didn't want to leave. So she appears still in black and white, but at the age of maybe 25, 26, when she was at her most beautiful, because, as she explains, ghosts can do that.
That's it.
You appear the way you want to.
Now, listen to Carol talking. She's talking about these people. She's talking about these characters, but they are people to her.
Oh, yeah.
And all, I mean, when you think of it, she didn't have the idea before. And somebody says, run with it, and you ran with it.
I did. And I hope to run for quite a while. I hope to run for quite a while with this one. I have turned in book 12.
For the Witch City Mysteries.
The Witch City Mysteries.
One dozen. That's
yeah, one dozen. Now, I don't have a contract yet for more, although I have sent in a synopsis for book 13, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, we have to have a 13. I mean, this is a Halloween thing.
I left a little clue dangling at the end of book 12, hoping that it will invite further books. But you don't know in the publishing business. You just don't. But I'm not worried about it. I have established a bit of a name.
You're getting quite a name.
I have the chops.
And a fan. And yeah. A fan base.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it. And Be My Ghost, I think, by the way, it's moving now. And this is its first day, and the pre-orders are good. I think this will go on for a while.
I do, too. I think it's going to be a tremendous success. And speaking about Witch City Mysteries, we have to remind my listeners, although all of my listeners know about you all the time, you were, of course, born on Halloween Eve in Salem, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. which really makes your books very relevant to you and to the city that you love. And you just went and had a little visit there.
Tell us
about that. That's exciting.
It was exciting. We usually, if we're going to go to New England, we usually go in October, but this year we were going to Dan's niece's renewal of her vows because her beautiful wedding that had been planned last year got knocked out by COVID. So she married with just family and friends, but this was the big reception. That's why we happened to be there in August. I went to Salem, and Patsy encouraged me to take a few pictures that related to the books.
And we're going to put them on Carol's website, which is Carol J. Perry.
Yep.
Because it's wonderful. People love to see where you are and where you're traveling.
I hear often from people who are either familiar with Salem from traveling there or who lived there at some time, and they are so appreciative of the details in the books. Once in a while, I'll get a very rare criticism of the fact that I do tell quite a bit about the background stories and about the place. But I know readers like it, and they like to feel it, that they're seeing it. One of the pictures I sent to Patsy for my website, I posed in front of the bandstand in the Salem Common. And if you have seen a copy of Book 11, See Something, you'll see the cat, Orion, with his back to the audience, as it often is in these books. And he's looking at a scene which includes the bandstand on the Salem Common and one of the benches that are there with a lone occupant of the bench, which has to do with the plot of that book. But we're not talking about that book so much this time, but I just want you to know that about the Salem Common.
And of course, it was a wonderful time to make a trip up north. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about, just a lot about everything that's happening here on Joy and Paper. One of the things that we do, of course, is we do these wonderful book buzzes mm-hmm. for you, for authors that, you know, for lots of authors. And recently, as you know, I have been really honored to have Devon Miller join me as doing book buzzes for books for children. And he started in January, and it's been really exciting. And one of the books that we wanted to talk about, and he's done a book buzz for, and I've been, you know, I was eager to talk to these authors. So, Carol, we're going to take a little break here and talk to, are they on the line? And I'm so honored to have with me today, because their books are wonderful. And Lisa Klein Ransom was on a few weeks ago, and we were talking about her wonderful book, Being Clem, which is the third book in her Finding Langston trilogy. And then at the same time, I realized afterwards, I was a little slow. I realized, well, I knew about her husband before I knew about Lisa, because he is a brilliant watercolorist. And I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper Lisa Klein Ransom and her husband James Ransom. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Patsy, nice to talk to you again.
Well, you know, I love your books. I was just so taken with Being Clem. I think it's a brilliant book. And then afterwards I thought, my goodness, I could talk to your husband. And you know, James, it's so nice to welcome you to Joy on Paper. I am a dabbler in watercolor. But I appreciate brilliant watercolor illustrations, and you are just brilliant. Oh, I can't hear you, James. Can you get a little closer to the phone?
You know, we're going to switch up. I'm going to go to speaker and see if that works better. Come here, James. Let me figure.
Okay, let's see what we can do, because James does, you know, watercoloring, people don't realize, sometimes people think watercolors are easier than oil painting. But to capture something in watercolor is not easy, because it's a pretty unforgiving. You know, when you do something in oil, you can paint over that thing like crazy.
Yeah.
You can't do it with watercolor, can you?
It's a little more difficult, yes, in watercolor to change things. So it just requires just thinking and sometimes planning things out. That's why I would strongly recommend for someone who's just starting is to really sort of plan and think about decisions you make before you just sort of jump in. But, you know, it's a lot of fun. It took me a long time to paint in watercolors. I originally started off working in oils, and I went to acrylics. I probably studied watercolor painting for about 5 years before I actually did a book in watercolors. So, you know, it does take some time.
It does. And one of the most difficult things in watercolor, when you do watercolors, is you can do landscapes, you can do flowers, but faces are really, really difficult. And that's why I was so taken with your work and how you capture the faces of characters.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot. You know, drawing is important, you know, and I use reference, not that these are photographic by any means, but, you know, that just helps you sort of think about where the placement of things can, should be or could be. And, you know, drawing it, you know, I think of these as drawings that I put color on top of. And that helps me also. I can give you lessons and have you painting and doing things that you wouldn't imagine within a matter of months. You know, one of the first things you need to do is have that confidence that you are in control and it's going to be okay. That's the hardest part for people.
He always says this, Patsy, but I don't think I'm teachable. So, even though he says that, I don't trust it can be done, but okay.
Well, I wanted to make special mention of Before She Was Harriet, which you did together.
Yes.
Of course, Lisa, you wrote the words, and tell us about that, because, you know, I know you didn't really plan to do this book, and then I'm so glad that James convinced you, because you've written it as a poem.
Yes, so I wrote Before She Was Harriet a few years ago, I think this book came out, and Harriet Tubman was always an incredible hero of mine since I was a very young girl, but as you know, there are lots and lots of books written about Harriet Tubman. And so, you know, the challenge as a writer is finding, you know, a new way to tell an old story. And so James came to me and said, you know, I'd really love for us to do a book together about Harriet Tubman. And I thought, you know, as much as I'd love to write a book about Harriet Tubman, there have been probably too many books out about Harriet Tubman. And he said, you know, what about if we tell it, you know, from a perspective of an older person looking back? And one of the things that I don't love doing is writing kind of in a flashback format. So I said, absolutely, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that, James. And I don't really like being told how to write a story anyhow. But I started thinking about my mother, who's 96 years old, and the way my mother kind of thinks about and reflects on her own life. And, you know, she's older and she has memory issues, but she loves to talk about who she was when she was younger. So the more I kind of thought about that, and then I started thinking about Harriet. And I was like, maybe I could try it. And so I've written this story, you know, starting with Harriet as an older woman, but also looking back on the many lives that she had. And the other thing that James pointed out to me was that, you know, she wasn't, you know, just a conductor on the Underground Railroad, which is how many people know her, but she had many other jobs. She was a nurse during the Civil War. She was a spy for the Union Army. She was a general. And also in the army, and she was a suffragist, fighting for women's rights. So, you know, she had all these many, many lives, all basically in the service of others. And I thought, we should know the fullness of her story and the fullness of her history. And so that's really what Before She Was Harriet is about.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk about it to people, because this is it came out in 2019, and one of the problems with books is that, you know, they come out and people talk about them. You get some time, you know, a few months of coverage, and then after that, nobody sort of mentions them. But for me, that's why I do Joy on Paper, so that I can talk about books that I love, and it doesn't matter when they were written. So I wanted to just remind people of this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it books are around for such a long time, so it's always good to talk about them and revisit them and discuss, especially an important book like this, Before She Was Harriet, which really does help kids understand the fullness of Harriet Tubman.
Well, I agree. And, of course, it won a lot of awards. I think the Coretta Scott King Honor and the Christopher Award. And, of course, James, so many of your illustrations have won awards. And how many books have you done together?
Oh, we haven't really done an official count in a while. I think we're at maybe 25 books.
No, well, I've done 25, but together have we done?
I think we've done
15 books together.
Well, that's fantastic. Of course, the picture book, they're picture books. And, you know, picture books are so important for children. They really get children into reading and set set them on the right path for the rest of their lives. And I think that two of you have written some beautiful books, and I hope that, you know, I will continue to talk about them. And Devon Miller, as you know, I sent you a promo that he did and that we're going to use on our website to help promote your books.
Thank you. Thank you,
Patsy.
We appreciate that.
Okay, we'll continue to do that, and make sure whenever you have new books that you contact me and that you're on the program. And I have a, you know, this is my goal.
Thank you.
I'll do that.
And so, what website do you want people to go to?
Do you? Lisa Klein Ransom. So it's LESA Klein. CLINE Ransom, RANSOME. And Ben?
It's just jamesransom.com, you know, James, RANSOME, .com.
And James, of course, you do a lot of illustrations and of course, just a lot of art on your own, which are shown in galleries, a fantastic work.
Yeah.
And as I said, I was aware of your work before I even heard of Lisa. So I am.
Well, I've been doing this for a long time, about 30 years.
And you are well known in the artistic community, and it's really an honor for me to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much. Honor talking to you. We're going to hold you to that. You know, we can come to you anytime to talk about a new project, but. I'm just really so happy with Lisa and the wonderful writing she's done.
Oh.
So Ackler and her series about Langston, you know, the three books in the series is just wonderful. And I'm just seeing her sort of grow in this business. It's just wonderful, you know, to see her voice and what she's adding and contributing to the children's book world. This is fantastic. I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, I agree. She is fantastic, and I love all the Langston books, but I was particularly caught up, you know, being Clem just got my heart. Partly, as I mentioned to Lisa, that ironing board scene will never leave me, and once you read that, I love that so much, and I think about it often, and just that's a sign of some brilliant writing, and I'm just so honored to know both of you. And I will have you back on whenever you have anything. Well, you can come on even if you don't have a new project. We can talk about some of the old projects, because I like to keep people aware that there are lots of great books out there, and maybe they weren't written today, or maybe they're 5 years old, but they're still great, and we can talk about them. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you now. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, they are so fantastic. They're books.
I have another quote to join my Mary Higgins Clark quote that came from one of your shows.
Okay.
Now this, James Ransom was talking about artists, but this applies so beautifully to writers. You are in control, and it's going to be okay. I love it. I shall put that up on my bulletin board, too, to remind me when the days when, I don't know if I've lost control and I'm not sure this is going to be okay. But I do appreciate those words of wisdom from that James Ransom.
Exactly. Well, you know, this is so exciting that you've been part of Joy on Paper. And what I've been trying to do here of promoting authors, books, you know, long after, and as you know, I talk about your books all the time.
You do, I know.
Because this is what happens, and it is part of, you know, the publishing world is difficult in general.
Yes.
As you saw, I mean, here you are, we're very talented. Right from the get-go, you were talented. We knew that you were talented, but no, you didn't get an agent. And sometimes, and this happens, I know some writers who just give up. They don't go further then. I met a guy who's, I mean, he was rejected 30 years ago. He gave me his book, his manuscript, and I'm like bowled over by it. I said, you have to do something with it. You know, I met him in an airport. I met him the last time I went to BoucherCon.
Yeah.
You know, the one in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And I met this guy. I was stuck in the airport. I met, he was a porter in the airport. And he wrote this book. And so after that, we started talking and we've been in contact. And finally, you know, I kept saying, well, what are you going to do? What? So finally he sent me the manuscript and I read it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's been sitting in his drawer for 30 years. He gave up.
Oh,
he gave up.
Yeah.
He just gave up. And you can't give up. You have to keep going. And it doesn't matter if you, you know, in your case, you went, got straight to a publisher, a brilliant publisher. Kensington is fantastic. Or other authors, you know, who say, okay, let's just do it. They publish independently. They're indie authors. And they are making tremendous success. And it depends. You just have to, the important word here is determined. When I say determined, I'm saying that as sort of a joke. It's, of course, it's determined. You have to be determined. But my husband always said determined. That was, he mispronounced it. Of course, he wasn't American. You know, well, he became American, but he was, you know, not from America. And he would say, determined, you have to be determined. And I say, yes, you know, that is a lesson to be learned. And you have to be. And you can then have tremendous success. You know, one of as a matter of fact, Rita Moreau, who does the book buzzes for Joy on Paper. And we call her here One Take Rita.
Yeah.
And we're going to play a book buzz from her in a minute. And that's because we want to always talk about how she is now publishing independently. And she's come out with two books in her new series, the Ghost in the Camper Kooky Mystery Series. And I think it's appropriate to say kooky because let's just say we know Rita and she's a little bit kooky. Yeah. And we'll talk about her in a minute. But first, let's play the book buzz that she did for you. Okay.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz. Be My Ghost, a Haunted Haven mystery book number one by Kensington author Carol J. Perry. Newsflash! Be My Ghost has been named 15 of the best upcoming cozy mysteries for the second half of 2021. Wowzer! Okay, here's the buzz. Maureen and her golden retriever, Finn, have taken possession of a charming old inn, only to discover that it's already possessed by tenants whose lease on life already ran out. Maureen's career as a sportswear buyer hits a snag just before Halloween when the department store declares bankruptcy. Meanwhile, Finn's lost his way as a guide dog after flunking his test for being too friendly and easily distracted. Sadly, only one of them can earn unemployment. So Maureen's facing a winter of discontent in Boston when she realizes she can't afford her apartment. Salvation comes when she receives a mysterious inheritance. An inn in Haven, Florida, a quaint scenic town on the Gulf of Mexico, hidden away from the theme parks. Maureen believes it's a good place to make a fresh start with a new business venture. But she gets more than she's bargained for when she finds a dead body on her property and meets some of the inn's everlasting tenants in the form of ghosts who offer their otherworldly talents in order to help her solve the mystery. Be My Ghost, a Haunted Haven mystery book number one by fabulous Kensington author Carol J. Perry. It releases August 31st, but it's available now for pre-order on Amazon. Can't wait? Hey, check out Carol J. Perry's Witch City Mystery Series. There's 11 books and counting. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's Radio-Joy on Paper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
And thank you, Rita. Isn't that nice?
Thank you, Rita. I love it.
Isn't that great?
Oh, that's the best one ever. I love Rita. She is so funny, and her books are fun, and her characters are just great.
And you have an event coming up with her.
Yes, we do.
And what is that going to be?
I don't know. You have October
20th. It's October 20th. Okay, mark your calendar. And it's going to be the two of you. Oh, mm-hmm. Whoa. Let's, as we said... Rita is a little bit kooky and fun, and you never know what she's going to come dressed up as.
That's right.
You know, for her other series, Mary Catherine Mahoney series, she comes dressed up as a nun. I have suggested to her that she come dressed up as Irma, which is a ghost in her Cozy Mystery series. Irma was a, let's say, a madam from a Las Vegas.
See.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
yes. Why not?
So you never know with Rita. She's full of surprises.
Well, usually for the October events, I wear my very elegant, beautiful purple witch hat.
Oh, it is. It's
it
great.
Is. I don't want to miss an opportunity to wear my purple witch hat.
No, you absolutely have to wear that because that's a signature now.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And it looks so good on you. And I like the idea that you did it in purple instead of black. You know, it makes you a standout witch. Let's put it that way.
I like to think so.
Yeah. You know, not just an ordinary witch. If,
right.
You know. Whoa, Carol, this is an exciting adventure. I mean, did you ever, I mean, we're not, let's say, this comes a little later in life than most people.
Absolutely. New career.
A career. It's a whole, it's like, what does your family think? Are they thrilled?
Of course. Yeah. But I have always been a writer. I knew in the seventh grade that I wanted to be in advertising. I wanted to be an ad copywriter. And I followed that dream, and I did become an ad copywriter. And I enjoyed a wonderful career in Gloucester as a sales promotion manager and advertising manager for the big department store that I borrowed for Maureen's job. And I loved that job. I worked for some of the Boston agencies, and I was well paid and had a wonderful time and worked with creative people. But I'd always thought of myself as a nonfiction writer. I did travel, antiques and collectibles, several different topics.
And then, whoa.
And then, whoa.
Now you became a novelist.
Yeah.
And now with a starred review in Publishers Weekly, which I have to repeat again, is such, I mean, there are famous authors, I'm telling you, really famous authors who have not had starred reviews. And they, let's say, they've been waiting, they're waiting. And I mean, these are really, you know, famous people, and they have never had a starred review. So it is really impressive.
You told me that, and I still get chills when I think of it. It's amazing and so exciting. And to be also have been selected as one of the top 15 books for the second half of the year.
Exactly.
And it wasn't an easy year to be top anything.
No, because, yeah, exactly. So there's so many things happening. And, of course, now today is the pub day. Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
It is.
And you have a website, caroljperry.com, and mm-hmm. people can go there and see a list of your events.
Yep.
And you have an event tonight.
I do. Murder on the Beach Bookstore, which is the best bookstore name you will ever hear.
It is. I love it.
It's over in Delray Beach. And we're doing a Zoom, and I'm doing it with Tracy Wilton, who writes the Salem Bed and Breakfast Mysteries. And Tracy is half of a writing team, which I find fascinating. She's really Tracy Hall, and her partner is Patrice Winton. And they write together. Someday maybe I'll find a writing partner and do that, too, when I get old.
Yeah, when you get old. 10 years from now, something like that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you are on a roll, and I am so thrilled for you. It's just an honor that you came here to the studio on your pub day to talk about this new book and the new series. And, you know, just hold up. You know, we're on YouTube. Hold it up for people to see, because the cover is so beautiful.
It's the beautiful cover.
It's Haunted Haven.
And just a little extra promotional, in your local Publix, you will find the Women's World Celebrate with a picture of Be My Ghost.
Yeah, I mean, think about it.
I know.
Isn't it exciting? You're walking in Publix.
Oh,
you're
at the, and when I pick up the magazine, I have to show the checker and the bag boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I have to do that. I'm going to go over. I'm going to go buy one. I'm going to say, you know that one? I know that woman. She's been on Joy on Paper.
It's a fun ride, isn't
yeah,
it?
It is. Yeah. And I just want to thank particularly, I skipped today the commercials for Bill Larson of Larson & Larson. But he is he's a wonderful lawyer for intellectual property.
Oh, I wish I had had him for those first middle grade books I wrote.
Yeah,
because signed some bad contracts.
That's right. That's happened to all of us. So mm-hmm. you have to be careful out there. And Bill Larson of Larson & Larson will handle all your intellectual property questions. All you have to do is just go on the website and type Larson & Larson and contact him. And he will actually, you can have a free consultation, and he will walk you through doing your copyright and then making any suggestions of things that you should do, particularly if you have a character or characters in your book that might be, let's say, marketable. Like if you have a zebra, and you might want to sell that zebra, you might want to talk to him about how to make sure you protect those type of things that you are going to sell one day. And of course, also Glenn Erickson, I have to thank him so much for just sponsoring Joy on Paper. He does these wonderful promos for the Red Cross and also for writers groups, and he is just a wonderful supporter of Joy on Paper. And of course, Devon Miller is I've just been thrilled to have him join me. He became a Sunshine Ambassador. He was selected by the city of St. Petersburg. He's a Sunshine Ambassador, and he talked about us at the event.
Oh.
He talked about Joy on Paper in front of all the people who came out there to see him get this award. And so he's very special. And as you are very special, and it's just, as I said, it's an honor to know you, honor to watch you grow through this time. It's been fantastic.
It's been a wonderful trip, and I so appreciate the wonderful friendship you and I have beyond books.
That's it. And you've been blessed with success, and it's just, well, it's made you glow too. You know, you're like, when I will say, when she first came, she was shyer. She was more, you know, a little bit shy, bit hesitant. Now, what the heck? She's like, oh, she's a star. And she carries herself like that. And that's what happens when you have this
kind of... I am in control, and it's going to be okay.
That's...
James Ransom.
a wonderful quote from him. And they are lovely people. And everybody, check out their books. As 30 books now, something like that.
Great.
25 books. Wonderful books. And... give books to kids. That's all mm-hmm. I can say.
Yes.
Absolutely, give books to kids. And if you don't have a kid in your life, send one to Shriners Hospital or St. Jude's, because the kids in the hospitals need books.
You know, after this disaster in Louisiana, there will be a lot of kids who have lost their personal
exactly.
libraries.
Exactly.
And I'm sure somebody there is gathering books.
Okay, hear the music, and I'm on my way out. We're on our way out. But everybody, remember what I always say. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Witch City Mysteries, written by Carol J. Perry, the very, very vibrant and enthusiastic author of a new series called Haunted Haven. So get that today. It's out today. This
yes,
is so
is.
Exciting. Pub day. I love pub days. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed. And he saluted me, and I saluted him, because that's what I should have been a general. Oh, gosh, Carol, I should have been a general. I would have been such a good general, much better than a lot of generals out there. I can tell you, I would have been great. I'm tough. That's a shame. Anyway, everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day, and get out there and buy Carol J. Perry's newest book. Okay? Yeah, you're going to be my ghost. Bye-bye now.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage. I'm Steve Kathan. Water, food, generators, you name it, they need it in parts of Louisiana and Mississippi hit hardest by Hurricane Ida.
I'm Jim Crisul in New Orleans. Local officials are telling people who fled Hurricane Ida not to return. Since there's no power or water service in many areas, 18 water systems are out, affecting more than 3